All right, well, we've been teaching on faith. This tonight is going to be part 21 already, believe it or not. But last time we got together, I want to just kick back on some of that information and unpack it and give us a little bit of a rehearsal on it. We were talking from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and if you'll just throw that back up there, we'll hit that, and then we'll go right into where we are teaching about Gideon. And again, he says, "And what shall I say more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson." On it goes. So again, a lot of teachers, when they teach you this, they just read through that to get to verse 33 and 34 and go down and talk about in generic view of the exploits that they did. By the way, it's good to see Marley here tonight and Madison as well, but good to have him back healed up. But that was a commercial, by the way. And so, you know, they just run through it, and they want to get to that point. But if you see, there's a reason the name is there. So that's what we've done. We've unpacked that because there's so much to the story. And so we're going to touch back on that. And that was enjoyable for me. How about you? So let's go back to Judges chapter 6. I'm not going to go in the totality of it because we got to get to the next chapter for tonight. But let's go to verse 1 for just a minute there, and then we'll kind of get the little bit of the flavor of what the deal was. "And so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years." 7 years. So here they were. They were delivered from Egypt. They were delivered from all those different things. Now they're back in a situation where they're in trouble. You ever been there before? You get free of one thing, and then you get caught up in another thing. God won't leave you, but God will deal with you. Let me try that one more time. God won't leave you. He won't forsake you, but he'll deal with you. You're the one that gets out of his hand. He doesn't throw you out of his hand. You know, we're the ones that jump out and say, "Lord, I just can't do this," or what have you. So we see that next verse as we skim through this. "And the land of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, caves, and strongholds." So again, going back, here they were, the children of Israel, the most feared nation in the world at the particular time, because their God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was an awesome God, and everybody knew what had happened with Pharaoh and with Egypt and all those things and the armies of the Red Sea. So his fame was throughout the known world. Now, here they are, because of their sin, they're hiding. Watch this now. Sin will always make you hide. Let me try that again. Sin will always make you fearful, and sin will always make you hide. There's a reason Adam and Eve used the fig leaf, because they were ashamed. They were full of sin, and so they hid themselves. That's why man hides himself from light and from God, because he loves darkness to do his deeds. Is anybody here today? That's why when you go into a bar or whatever, you better not go into a bar, but if you remember those days, it's usually darkened. Nobody's helping me, all you all angels. But you know those places were that design, because evil likes to be in the place of darkness. So do what? Turn the light on. Amen? Turn that light on. So here they are. Now they're in caves. Now they're hiding out. Next verse. "And it was so that when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them." So we're not going to go into the totality, but basically what's happened was, again, these champions of Israel, these warriors that had God on their side, the creator of heaven and earth, now they're in caves, and the Midianites would come down and take their stuff. See, fear always opens the door to more than just anxiety and depression. Fear opens up the door for the enemy to steal from you. Watch this now. If the enemy can steal your joy, he stole your strength. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. You need to learn how to laugh. You need to learn how to love the Lord and love life and look in the mirror and just giggle at the person standing behind you. I mean, you have to do that. You have to stand there in life and say, "Look, man, life is not so hard." No matter what you're going through, when you take it in comparison to the totality of how good God is, you say that sounds easy. Well, it's not easy. You have to go through it. You have to learn it. You have to discipline yourself. You have to say, "Look, man, I'm not going under. I'm going over. Nobody helping me tonight, but that's okay. I'm feeling good about it. I'm going to look at my life, and I'm going to say, I'm not going under. They're not going to take me out. I'm going to go over. I'm going to succeed. And success has many definitions, has many pictures. Success is not cars and diamonds and stuff. Success is having a good conscience towards God and knowing you done your friends and your neighbors right. I don't owe nobody nothing. That's a good feeling, isn't it? Except the bank and, you know, a few other people down the road. You know what I'm saying? I don't owe nobody. I haven't stole from anybody. All right, next verse, and then we're going to kick it off for tonight. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. See that? They destroyed it till thou came into Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. Took it all. Took it all. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to take it all from us through what? The gateway of fear. There's so many Americans today, so many Christians, so many people who go to church who are fearful, just full of anxiety, full of depression, weighty, just held down. Am I talking to anybody tonight? I mean, we all go through seasons where that happens, but if it's constantly like that, we need to check ourselves, amen? We need to have the faith lifted up in our lives and increase. So we know what happened, that God goes, I'm not going to go over the whole thing last time, that was a lot of fun, about Gideon getting his call. He's where? He's by the wine press, and he's threshing out wheat. The funny thing is, there was no grapes, nor vines, nor wine in order for him to do the work, so he hid. Remember that? He hid trying to get the wheat threshed, and he did it so the Midianites wouldn't take it from him. So what happens? Here he is. He's this little guy. And then all of a sudden, God, come on through the prophet first, but then God shows up and says, you're a mighty man. Really? I'm hiding over here by the wine press, and now you're saying I'm a mighty man of valor, and you're going to use me? You ever felt that way when God called you, or God speaks to your heart, or even being born again, and you see the path of life before you, and what he wants you to do, you're like, me? Yeah, you, man. Our preacher stands up and says, come on, you could do this. You can go do an outreach. Come on with us. Go to Africa. Let's go to Cuba. Huh? You crazy. I'm not going anywhere. But guess what? If God is in you and God is for you, God will take care of you. And he'll give you that strength. So we saw that with Gideon. So here he is. Now we come to the point where what? He's getting his army together. Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Here he is with all these thousands of guys. And then the Lord says, no, that's too much. So what did he drop them down to? Like what, 10,000? I think it was 32 to 10,000. That's great. And then what does he do? He takes them down by the water and he says, let's go ahead and let's see how many of them will drink a certain way. And then those that lapped like a dog, remember that? And then those that were just looking down in the reflection, which is seeing themselves, what happened? He only had 300. Isn't that just like God? See, the reason why God does stuff like that and stories are in there is because life isn't all about your strength or my strength. Let me try that one more time. We're taught it's our strength. It's taught, you know, your back and your bronze and your ability and your brains and all these different things that you become successful. Well, there is some element to that. Work is a very powerful truth. It's a very powerful force, ambition, and those different things. But without God, you can't do anything. Because in him we live and move and have our being. If he doesn't exhale, I can't inhale. So everything that I do by faith. Even the pagans, even those that don't know Christ or outside of the covenant of God, they don't realize it, but they can't live without God. But for a Christian, we recognize and realize Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So he is my hope. Remember the expectancy. So he's my strength. Is he your strength? Absolutely. So then he shows that through Gideon, and that's why I love this story, and that's why we're breaking this thing down. Okay, so let's get away from that. Let's get into part 21 tonight, and let's look at Judges chapter 7. So we're going to kind of rehearse a little bit here, but we're going to pick up back to what we need to teach on. Is that all right? That way we get a little bit of traction, and then those that are listening for the first time can catch it. Then Zerubbabel, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the hosts of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. All right, so they're setting up for battle. Love a good battle. Watch this. Next verse. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Let Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So again, here we are. We're going through the whole, he's reducing the army. Go ahead. Again, because he doesn't want it to be our strength, right? We don't get no glory. You don't get any glory. Now, therefore, go to proclaim to the ears or in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return to depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000 and there remained 10,000. So 22,000 people ran because they were afraid. Sound like the church sometimes, don't it? Hey, man, we got an outreach coming up this Saturday. Oh, I thought I heard crickets. Yeah, right? You know, we're going to pull some weeds, man. We're going to get some mulch, man. I got some shovels. I went down to Home Depot. Right? Right? So, but God's got a plan. Next verse. You know, I'll always be here. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Really? Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee. Look what he said. I will try them for thee there. Thanks. I could have used the 22, you know, I didn't need that. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. Now, I want you to see something here. This is, again, we're unpacking it so you get new stuff. So it's not like I'm being repetitive. This is why we go over it. Watch what he says. This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, whom I have said unto thee. Notice it again. That of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. In other words, I'm the one that's going to tell you who's going to go with you. See, so many times in life, we go on our journey thinking this person or that person should be with us. And then there's times when God says, you know, I don't want that person with you on your journey. You need to take that person out of the equation. But God, somebody help me. There's been people in my life, I love people in general, but there's people in my life, and you have the same story where God said, you know what, you're done. You're done. You've gone far enough with this individual or these people or this whatever organization. You need to separate yourself in order for me to take you to the next level. Remember, this is by faith. But feelings and emotions, we say, oh, no, you know, I need to stay at Grandma's church. I'm just going to take her to it. I mean, people made that pew. You're dying in the church. There's no life. You know, you have spider webs growing on you, and there's nothing happening. You have no spiritual life, no nothing, no strength, but you're going to stay there. When the Lord says, let me tell you where you're going to go and who is going to go with you. Does that make sense? And if we would do that in our relationships, if we would just spend a little time in prayer and say, God, who belongs in my life? Let me tell you something that my wife has done over the years. We've prayed that exact prayer. Lord, who belongs with us? Personally, in our inner circle of life, friends, whoever, who belongs with us, Lord? Bring those into our lives. Give us divine contacts. Make people who don't like us love us. That's a little hard, but you know what I mean? Whatever it takes, Lord, we want your will to be done, because I'm going to show you later on, if we can get to it, we're going to try. That is a very powerful concept and compound of faith that many people don't see. That's why we're teaching it this way. Is that all right? So we got to learn this thing. It's an element of faith. Look at it again. And I will try them for thee. See, he's helping us. We don't recognize this, but he tries us and he tries people around us. Is anybody here? Are you getting a good nap? Because here's the thing. How many of us have gone through life and we've lost somebody? We're really upset about it. We're like, wow, man, the person's no longer my friend. We question God. We question ourselves, right? But we don't recognize or realize God did that. Because when you pray, Lord, thy will be done, you pray that in the totality of your life. So he's going to help you with relationships. He's going to help you with finances. He's going to help. Does that make sense? And there's some people you can't carry with you. The Bible says that when King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He needed King Uzziah to go out of his life before he could see God. Joshua could not take the mantle and lead Israel into the promised land when Moses was still alive. Moses had to go. When Moses left, Joshua was anointed and he possessed the land. Isn't that powerful? So those things will happen in our lives. And a lot of times we lament them, and I'm not saying to be emotional. Let's say, yeah, good. See you later, buddy. Good riddance, dude. We don't do that. Well, maybe not always, but you know, we don't do that necessarily. We're kind of like, oh, God, man, Lord, that's terrible. Why do they not like me no more? Whatever. Especially as a pastor, you know, 30-something years of ministry, I've had people come and go in your life, and you're like, oh, Lord, why? And then you find out later on they weren't good for you. Don't make me sing, you're no good, baby, you're no good. Mark knows I can sing good. All right, so watch this. Don't lie in church. Next verse. Help me. And so he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Yeah, I would say so. Look kind of weird. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Next verse. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Remember, the illustration I gave you was those that were lapping like a dog, they were looking. They had their eyes still looking out. They were attentive to what was going on around them. That's what faith does. Faith will cause you to pay attention. Faith will cause you to pay attention. Fear does not put you in a position of being alert. Fear puts you in tunnel vision. Yes, it does. It does. It puts you in that position to where, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Everything's closing in. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my home. I'm going to lose this. On and on it goes. Where faith just takes the wide view and says, it's all right. It's all good. I trust him at his word. It works. Just like that song sang. That we just sang. Isn't that right? Those who bowed down, what did they do? They saw themselves into the water, the reflection. They were looking at themselves. And so many people in the house of God, so many Christians per se, are self-centered, where they want to look at themselves. They want to see the reflection of what their life is instead of looking at what the plan of God is. Is that good? All right, so next verse. So we're unpacking new stuff, but we're headed to tonight as well. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hands, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. So get rid of them. Bye. Take care. I don't need you. Kind of wild, isn't it? But listen, there's some people you just don't need on your journey. Codependency is something that we all have to break and learn in life to get rid of. And we all have it in some way, some form or fashion. Now, please, I'm not teaching from a point that you just cut everybody off in your life and say, forget them. That's ridiculous. There's people that have already done that. They did it over certain elections. They've done it over certain political entities. Somebody help me. They do it over doctrinal things or what church you go to or what have you. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying is, if you walk by faith and you let God take complete control of your life, he will add to your life who he wants there, and he'll remove those people who don't belong there. That's right. Or he'll tell you, he'll help you. All right, so this is a lesson from that. Next verse. So the people took vinegar. Remember that? They took their hot dogs and bananas and beanie weenies and all that stuff and in their hands and their trumpets. Again, this is hilarious when you look at it from the point of view. But he sent them all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men and their snacks. And the host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. So beneath him in the valley. That's just, if you take your middle picture of that and use your imagination, they got their food and they got their trumpet. They're going to go to war. Here's an element of faith. It doesn't take everything of your strength to accomplish God's will. You can be victorious without an AK-47 or an M-16 or a M-1 Abrams or whatever. You don't need. Why? Because Paul said the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Is that right? Mighty through God. And they're not carnal. And so, but God's using this example here to teach us a faith lesson today. Is that all right? All right, so let's move on. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. That's another step of faith. In other words, I want you to go down there to those multiple thousands of enemies with your 300 guys with snacks and a trumpet. Please, use your imagination. Think about Gideon. He was just threshing wheat by a wine press, hiding, saying, I'm the least in my family. This isn't a long journey. This is pretty quick stuff. And he's bringing him into a place of being a champion, but I'm sure he didn't feel like one. Right? He's trying to show us we can do it with him. All right, so next verse. So you're seeing Gideon's faith as well. And if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. Okay, so if you got some fear, you're going to make a connection here. Next verse. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then they went down with Purah and his servant, and watch this here, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So here he is. He says, okay, I want you to go down there. You're going to take somebody with you. Now notice the connection of faith. You're going to go down there and you're going to listen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by what? The word of God. The first thing he had to do was to obey. When he obeyed, he heard what was going on. When he heard, that was the faith to destroy the fear. God said, if you have fear, guess what? He had fear because he took Purah with him and went down there. Are you with me? So in other words, here's the misconception about fear is that people think, well, if you're super faith and you're superman of faith and all this super Christian, you're never going to have the emotion of fear. That is the biggest lie ever. You're going to be fearful in some aspect or another, or you're going to be, have a little bit of anxiety about it. Like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then all of a sudden that fear turns to faith when you begin to hear the plan of God. And that's what he wants us to do. So watch what happens next. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers. Are you seeing this? This is 300 dudes that lapped like a dog. Great team. Is anybody here a great team? Wonderful team. I got a bunch of people lapped like a dog. 300 of them. We're going to go down here to the people that are like grasshoppers. They're everywhere like locusts. I could just see Gideon going down and saying, thanks, God. Why didn't you just kill me instead of letting these guys kill me? Ever been there? Yup. Mark came down the floor. He's like, Lord, what am I doing here? Valley like grasshoppers for multitudes, and their camels without numbers. Okay, that's like tanks, guys. That's like tanks. That's like, chariots and horses. It was camels. He's got hot dogs and trumpets, a bag of combos, Cheetos. I mean, right? You're reading the same Bible I'm reading. I just gave you the Ben Faircloth translation. I'm going to go down there with these guys. I can't even number them. Doesn't life seem like that, you're outnumbered? Come on, somebody. You wake up and life is just, oh, how am I going to pay this? How am I going to face this? I got a court date. I got to do this. Oh, this is insurmountable. How can I do that? I'm outnumbered. It's kind of like when your mother-in-law comes over. You just feel outnumbered. And there's only one of them. Feel like an army, right? Watch this. And their camels without numbers as a sand by the sea, sight for multitude. That ain't no game. But I'm going to tell you something. That's what fear does. Watch this now. Fear will paint a picture that is insurmountable. Fear will always tell you, you can't do it. You're the wrong color. You're the wrong age. You were born in the wrong time. You were born in the wrong place. You're from the wrong family. You got the wrong last name. You definitely in the wrong bank. Come on now. You drive the wrong car. You go to the wrong church. You go on and on it goes. Everything is wrong when it comes to what you're facing. But faith makes everything right. Faith makes everything right. It may not feel right, and it definitely may not see right, but when you look with the eyes of faith, it's going to be all right. Is that okay? I want to write that down, make you a t-shirt. Next verse. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian. Notice the bread. Notice the viticles, right? God's got a plan. And came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. Notice this, that God can take your enemy out with a loaf of bread. He'll beat him with it, soak him with it, or choke him with it. He's going to get him. Is that okay? So don't throw away moldy bread. You never know if God wants you to throw it at your neighbor or an enemy. All right. Next verse. Isn't that powerful? And this fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand that God hath delivered Midian and all the host. So we see this prophetic element. We talked about that earlier in our teachings about the prophetic element of faith. Faith releases what? The prophetic. If Gideon would have said no to all this, God obviously would have found somebody else, but he didn't. And he used Gideon, and Gideon obeyed, and then all of these things began to open up and come to pass prophetically. All right, next verse. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped, I would too, and returned unto the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Wow. He heard the dream. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. He heard it. It built up faith, and God allowed it to happen. And then it made sense. Notice this. In the first step of journey, it doesn't make sense. Let me rewind that. On the first step of journey, it doesn't make sense. And there's a reason it doesn't make sense. Because God wants you to get away from your senses and walk by faith in your spirit. Because your senses tell you, this is ridiculous. Come on, when you're sitting in traffic like we were and driving this far, you know, your mind, especially, you know, if it's, you're not used to this stuff and you're just like, this is ridiculous. I could be at the house with sweet tea, a cup of coffee, and, you know, bonbons. Somebody say amen. And it does, it's a glass darkly. Well, those that have been through it, and you know the procedure, the process. Does that make sense? It's like going somewhere you've never been before. It's just right around the corner. Yeah, right. I'm so numb. I need a forklift to get me out of this chair. But to someone who's been there before, or with God showing you the path and pattern, even though you don't know the totality, you can see with faith. Does that make sense? And you just hold on to the journey and you go through it. And then it becomes more clear as you go. That's why we got to get people discipled in faith instead of this super greasy faith, you know, this microwave popcorn faith where you just boop, 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 psh, you know, you got it all. It doesn't work that way. You got to plant the seed. You got to water that seed. You got to cultivate that seed. You got to fight the critters off the seed. You got to flick the bugs off. I mean, you got to do this whole thing. And then you get the hard part. You got to reap it. You got to work it, right? And so that's the process of faith. But most people don't want that. They want it right now. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so let's go on. I don't know if I'm going to get to this other thing tonight. I don't know. You guys are taking forever. Watch this. Verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand and every pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. So you imagine that. They had to go get pitchers. They were really like clay pots. Could you imagine how many mad wives there were? Folks, help me. Use your imagination. So the women were involved. Because guys don't walk around with clay pitchers. Is anybody... Huh? Yeah, they're empty. I mean, men don't do that. That was the woman's thing, right? Yes, it was, absolutely. So could you imagine them saying, you're not taking that. That's Pioneer Woman. You're not taking that. No. You tell Gideon, here, Walmart, take this one. Scratch and dent. You're not taking Pioneer Woman. So think about it. So they got these lamps, and it's so funny because they took a candle, stuck it inside of their pot. Come on, watch. Look, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I want you to go somewhere, sir, you know, so, do this and start a church. I want you to go down there and do ministry. I want you to go. Lord, that's dumb. Do you know it's okay for you to kind of talk to the Lord that way? Say, Lord, I wouldn't say it's dumb per se, but I'd be like, Lord, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? You're thinking it, aren't you? You might as well say it because he knows what you're thinking. It ain't a sin. Next verse. And he said unto them, look on me. Look on me, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come into the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. Look unto me. So in other words, that faith connection, your faith builds, my faith builds, when we're connected together, when we look at our leadership, we look at our leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, we look at our leadership in the house, when we look upon, we follow, and do what? Like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay? You just got to make sure the guy you're following is following Christ, not Chris or some other thing. Okay? Next verse. And when I blow with a trumpet and all that are with me, then blow you the trumpets. What a band, huh? Also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now look at this again, how hilarious this is. You're going to take a trumpet and we're going to blow it like we're some type of band and then say we're the sword of the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm former military. If the guys are former military and people watch it. You don't do that when you go to war. They didn't train us to do that. If you want to be in the marching band, go in the marching band. They taught us how to use a bayonet, man. They taught us how to use weapons, right? But here it is. I mean, you have to look at this and see how faith operates. It's not always what we think it should be. It's not always in our strength. Or watch this. There's a lot of pastors, and you know, we could put this in any category, but let's use a pastor, for example. There's a lot of pastors who say, man, if I could just get a doctor in my church, or a dentist, or a lawyer, if I could just get that local banker, if I could just get that car salesman over here in my church, if I could. No. No, that's not how it works. Lord, if I can just get your faith, you turned water into wine, man. You opened blinded eyes, raised the dead. You created heaven and earth. If I could just get the faith you said I have and the measure thereof and increase it, then everything will come unto me. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I don't need the banker. I don't need the candlestick maker. I don't need the baker. I'd like to have them all. You know, but I don't need them. Does that make sense? And you don't need them either. And one of our problems is in our codependency, we feel we need certain people in our life to make us succeed. You do not need them. You need God, and God will lead you and lead others to you. Help me. If you have a vision, then there will be provision. And provision is not for, this is not a preacher terminology. You know, preachers use it all the time in their conferences or whatever. You must have vision. Well, you know what? If you're a father or a granddad or just a single mother, it doesn't matter. You need vision for your home. You need vision for your life. What are you going to do in the next 5 years should the Lord tarry? You got a plan? I teach people when I teach, is this okay? When I teach destiny to leadership and the people that are aspiring to be leaders, I teach them, you need a five-year plan. What is 5 years? What are you going to do in 5 years? How are you going to succeed? What are your goals? That's why on New Year's Eve, we declare five things for the new year. Be here, by the way. New Year's Eve. You say, why five? Five is a number of grace. Remember one time we did that, and I think it was Sandy. She had like 20 different things all over the back of her paper. I said, five. Well, I have 20. I was like, well, say them all then. You could have 100. But start out and say, here's my plan. Now, that was a one-year plan, but what's your five-year plan? Because if you sit there and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you're going to be old and gray and you've done nothing. I'm looking at everybody. Whoever's gray, I'm not looking at you. Because, anyways, you know what I'm saying? And again, it doesn't matter. Your five-year plan could be to pay off a car. It could be to, you know, get out of debt. Whatever it is. Good stuff? It's true. You got to do it. Okay, so check this out. So here's the sword. I don't see no sword, do you? But what is he doing? He's acting on what? A prophetic word. The prophetic dream gave him the prophetic words. I'm going to run around this building. a prophetic dream gave him the prophetic words. The Lord gave him insight and understanding of what he wanted him to do. And Gideon, watch this, Gideon repeated what he heard. That's what faith does. Faith repeats what's in your hands called the Bible. Not some talking guy up here, 6 foot icicle. I'm 5'11 and a half, by the way. One day I'm going to be six. But come on, somebody. You don't do it that way. You have to get into that word. Now, you can take inspired words and inspired teaching and make them your own, but you've got to be repetitive and learn it. You got to confess. Hearing it and doing the bobblehead Christian thing, that doesn't make you faith-filled or faithful. I have to do it. Okay? All right. So let's get away from that sword. Let's see what happens next. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the, remember they split up in threes, outside the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, so they were changing guards. Notice the timing. I could do this all night long. The timing of God is imperative. The timing of God is perfect. You don't strike out, you don't do anything without the timing of God. Had he done it at another time, they would have lost, or they could have lost a lot of casualties. Is that right? How many of you, and how many times have I done something premature? You know, I got the word from God. I knew what I was supposed to do, but I went, yahoo! And the guys end up in the plane going, you forgot your parachute! Oh! Right? And then you fall and hit the ground. God, you weren't with me. And God's like, I didn't tell you to jump. I said, look, you jumped. Is that right? We all do that. We jump out in faith. And again, you hear this message and we become little parrots and we become, you know, parakeets, whatever. We repeat everything. We say, okay, I'm going to go do exactly what Pastor does. I'm going to do it exactly the way he does it. No, you can't. You got to build your faith. It's okay, again, to practice it and repeat it. And even pray it. Say, God, I want that type of faith. I mean, when I was around Dr. Sumron, that ministry, I prayed for that faith. Lord, I want that faith in me. And when they laid hands on me, the same faith that was on Dr. Sumron and Smith Wigglesworth and all the tradition that he received came on us. Jennifer and I both, we received it. We received that impartation. I asked for it. God, I want it. Am I there where I want to be? No, but I'm going to develop into it. I'm going to get bigger one day, man. Come on now. We all are. We're to get bigger in God. Just don't want to get wider. Watch this. And you guys are mean. Came into the camp, beginning of the middle watch. And they said, but nearly what? Watch this. And they blew the trumpets and break the pitchers. Oh, great. I wonder if the Lord reimbursed the wives. And I'm sure he did, because there was so much stuff that they took. There was a lot of booty when they got done, a lot of treasures. And they were in their hands, that were in their hands. Next verse. Don't worry, God repays. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I don't know about you, but that would have been a little rough for me to do. I know you guys are very spiritual. You've been like, yeah, I'm right there with you. No, I'm more like the VeggieTale guy, you know. I must save Israel. That would have been me, because I was like, what? This is crazy. Watch what happens here. I'm not going to get to where I wanted to go, so. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran, cried, and fled. Is that hilarious? 300 men with pioneer women pots and a candle inside of it and a bugle. And maybe, what is that little thing, the gazoo? Some guy had a gazoo, you know, some jokester back there who didn't believe. No, he didn't do that. What happens? They ran. What happens when you have faith? Your enemy will run from you. Things will run from you. They will cry out. You won't cry out because you have faith in God. You may not see it. It may be a spiritual thing where the enemy flees. You know he does when you walk by faith and you shine the light of the word. You don't have to see it. You just have to see the results. That's what faith does. All right, so here we go. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. Wait a minute now. Even throughout all the host, and the host fled to Bathsheba and to Zarath and to the border of, what is that, Abimelech, and to Tabith. How about Tekoa and Martin and Cannon would be easier, right? So what did they do? They ended up killing each other. How, the house divided itself can't stand. Satan can't cast out Satan. So where there's confusion, there's every evil work. Is that what the Bible says? Exactly right. So what you're doing with faith is, watch this. In a world of chaos, in the world that we all live in, when you walk out of these doors, you're walking into chaos. It's designed that way. But you're a person of faith. You're a creation of faith. You're a creature of faith. Faith lives inside of you. So when you enter into that chaotic world, if you speak faith and speak life, then those elements must move out of your way and go into confusion and go into separation of where you're headed to. You don't believe that, but that's true. We have a hard time receiving that because we can't see it. We have another hard time receiving it because it's not now. We want it now. It's not always now. You know, if you're going to bore a tunnel, it takes a while to get through. If you're going to go through the enemy's camp, you're just not going to run through it. You're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to be strategic about it. Does this make any sense? So faith is not an instant thing. This isn't instant rice. It's not popcorn again. Faith is something that is developed, cultivated, and birthed. Okay? That's why it takes 9 months to have a child. All right. So we go on. I could just sit here all night. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtalia and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. So notice this, watch. It wasn't enough for them to see the enemies kill themselves. It wasn't enough for them to run, cry, and flee. They pursued them till they dominated them. Faith dominates. You want to write that down. Faith dominates your enemies. Faith dominates what you're trying to get rid of. Don't give up on it. Continue to dominate, dominate, dominate. You get a little health victory, don't accept just a little. Get it all. You get a little financial victory, don't stop with that. Get it all. Get everything God has for you. Take every territory, every inch, everything that the enemy has stolen from you. Get it all back. The Bible declares this, and a lot of people quote it, but they don't quote it to the totality of it. You know, they say, well, when the thief is found out, he must pay back sevenfold. Is that what it says? Read the rest of it. And the rest of his house. But most Christians thought, hey, the gun getting sevenfold blessing. You're getting sevenfold. I'm getting sevenfold in the trailer park. I'm getting the whole thing, man. I'm getting the condo. I'm getting the whole thing that the enemy owed me. How many of y'all know he owes you a lot? All right, next verse. I think I'm going to have to wind this down in about an hour. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all of Ephraim, Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before thee the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. So guess what? He called all of his buddies. Come on, guys, let's go. Let's party down, right? And there's something about that. When you have victory in faith, it's not for yourself, it's for everybody. No different than I said when we went before Florida. What did I say? I said that he who stays home divides the spoil. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs says it. So you send somebody out on the mission field, watch this. They do the labor. They have their reward as a pioneer. They have their reward according to God's precept of payment. But guess what? You help support them, so you get your payment too. Remember? He's fair. Remember those who in the last days got all mad because some people worked for a couple hours and some people worked so long and they got paid the same? Remember they got mad at Jesus over the parable? Well, that's just the way it is. God's got all that figured out. I'm not worried about payment. All I need to do is be faithful in my assignment. And if I'm faithful in my assignment and you're faithful in your assignment, guess what? We all get the victory. We all get the spoils of war. Man, if the church would get a hold of that and stop competing and getting mad. Pastor. He's always mentioning Mark. Or whoever. Sarah, man of ministries and flow. You know what I'm talking. You know it's the truth. You go to some of these churches, they ought to have a pout box where you just go back there and, all right, go in there and pout a little bit and come back out when you're done. You know it's the truth. How was service? It was fine. You know what I'm talking about. I'm like, Granny, come on, lighten up, babe. Somebody wave at me. You've been to a church like that. You've seen it on TV. You read about it somewhere. You were that person. I don't know. Just don't be that way, man. Rejoice. Rejoice. Say, man, hey, Mark got a chance to go down the floor. I keep picking on Mark. But, you know, so-and-so got a chance to go to on a mission trip or whatever, man. That's awesome. And you know what? I sowed some money into it. Or guess what? I got on my knees and I prayed. I'm a part of it. Yeah. No, but in our mindset, especially the American mindset, we got to be on GQ. All these pictures. I got to be on the front of the magazine. I got to be right there or I didn't do anything for God. That's ridiculous. Some of the greatest heroes will be unsung in heaven. The grandmas, the intercessors, the ones hiding behind the quilt. I love those people because they're the backbone. I've had so many people come up to me that just seem so anonymous and say, Pastor, I've been praying for you. You know, that seems so childish. That's phenomenal. And God looks at it and says, that's my girl. That's my guy. And then if you ever get arrogant, he'll look at you and say, they were the bad. You know, you were supposed to be killed on that trip. They were going to rob you on that trip. That plane wasn't going to land. And he'll bring you right back to somebody that's an unsung hero. The greatest in heaven is who? The one who serves all. The servant is the greatest. That's powerful stuff. We got to get all this competition stuff at the church. It stinks. All right, I'm going to quit. Maybe. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. Nice names. And they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb. And Zeb, they slew at the winepress of Zeb and pursued Midian and brought the head. Yikes. Of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. Wow, that's pretty heavy duty. This is kind of like R-rated for violence here, isn't it? But God, that's how serious he is about the enemies. He wants their head. What does head represent? Authority. He wants the authority of the enemy. He wants you to possess the authority of the enemy. Whatever is oppressing you, those that are watching right now, those that are listening, whatever is oppressing you, suppressing you, having dominion over you, the thumb is on you, he wants their head. You better believe that. If it's poverty, if it's sickness, disease, malfunction, it doesn't matter what it is, fear, anxiety, depression, it does not matter. He wants the head of the enemy. So you can't tolerate it. This is the whole point of faith. Faith does not tolerate the enemy. Faith overcomes, subdues, and takes his head. Man, that's a violent church, man. No, I'm talking to the spirit. You know that. I'm not talking about going and get your neighbor or something. Come on. Watch this. And this is it. I'm out. I got to go. You guys look like you're sad. Next verse. That's it. See, I told you I was done. Let me give you some things to write down. I'm going to give you one thing to write because I got to stop. Because then I'll just keep going on. Faith is contagious. And we'll stop there. And then we'll get into, actually we're finished with Gideon, by the way, and we'll move into Barak. But faith is contagious. You need to realize that. Faith is contagious. And we're going to find out through this next story about the ways it is contagious. But I will leave you with this one idea. The Word of God. The Word of God. You want to get infected with faith? Read the Word of God. You want to be possessed with faith? Read the Word of God, because that's where faith abides. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to minister faith. I pray that we'd all just grow and mature, become more than what we are, and that we would take the heads of our enemy, whatever it is. If we just write it down and say, enough is enough. I'm going to go after this authority in the name of Jesus. Not in my strength, but in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people. Bless our visitor, David. Father, bless all those in Florida and different places, all really around the world that are dealing with some very tough times. By faith, we will all overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.